It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Welcome to the Be the People show. Our show today is about the coronavirus and what we need to know to protect ourselves and our families. The coronavirus is a deadly respiratory disease believed to be spread from person to person. It started in Wuhan, China, and it spread to other nations. As of February 20th, the disease had infected more than 71,000 people in 26 nations. The Center for Disease Control, the CDC, refers to the disease as COVID-19. The CDC believes COVID-19 could gain a foothold in America. Joining me today to discuss COVID-19 and some other healthcare issues is Dr. Marilyn Singleton. Dr. Singleton is a board-certified medical doctor and a lawyer, and so she's going to help us to understand how we stand in America today when it comes to the coronavirus as well as some other healthcare issues. So join me in welcoming Dr. Marilyn Singleton to the Be the People show.
Hello, I am so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, Marilyn, I have heard a lot of great things about you from Pastor Broden and some of the other people that I know, like Carla Dean Graves. And so it's an honor to me to have you on the show.
Well, I tell you, with the topic you're having today, it's so important, and I'm glad you're bringing it up and we have a chance to discuss it.
Well, tell us what we need to know about the coronavirus, because right now I did a search before the start of this interview, and I could not find an article that was estimating how many Americans have already been infected by the disease.
Well, first off, if I'll tell you the best website for the coronavirus, and I'll tell you the way to Google or whatever other search engine you use, because the link is very, very long to say in an interview. But just Google Johns Hopkins CSSE COVID-19, and it's an unbelievable map. It's in real time, and when you refresh your computer, I mean, literally in 15 minutes, the numbers will change. And it's a map of the world and has dots every place that there has been a reported case. And it lists all the countries and how many in each country. Now, we're up to 29 cases in the United States. Now, that's in contrast to 75,000 205 confirmed cases worldwide. What I find of interest in looking at the map is that, of course, most of the cases are in Asia, but there are zero reported cases in South America and one way up in North Africa, in Egypt, but nothing in sub-Saharan Africa.
But do you believe that there are actually nothing, or is it that some people could have contracted the disease and doctors would not be looking for it?
Interestingly, now that World Health Organization is involved, and according to our people, have sent a team to China, that everybody in the world is supposed to be looking for it. I always wonder, certainly about sub-Saharan Africa, whether things are being reported, and quite specifically, this is reported cases. So who knows if there's some people who just aren't reporting. And just going back to even finding out how one has corona or the COVID-19, one, there's several kinds of coronaviruses. And if you remember from 15 or so years ago, there was a SARS outbreak and a MERS outbreak. The MERS was Middle Eastern respiratory, and the SARS was severe acute respiratory syndrome. And they were fairly limited. And really, by 2003, we haven't seen it anymore, that it just sort of died out. And they never had this many cases. And this is the issue with COVID-19, is that there's so many cases and it seems to transmit very fast. Its fatality rate is lower, but more people have it. So, I mean, you're talking 75,000 people worldwide, whereas only 8,000 had SARS. And then if you imagine some underreporting, because now I fear that people would be afraid to go to the doctor or report themselves because they don't want to be quarantined.
Well, that depends on the nation you're in, wouldn't it?
Exactly. That's why I think it looks curious when you look at the world map and when you see zero cases in South America and zero cases in sub-Saharan Africa. You just kind of wonder what the reporting issues are. But who knows? We'll find out. Every day, more and more cases are reported. But the good thing is people aren't dropping like flies. They aren't dying. The symptoms, of course, are just like the common cold.
Well, let me ask you this. You say they're not dropping like flies, but we don't really know what's happening in China based on their reports.
That's true. And other countries are, now that we have Germany, Australia, France, Japan, Singapore, we could certainly count on them to report their deaths.
And is this like SARS or is it deadlier than SARS?
No, it's, if you look at mortality rates, SARS had a mortality rate of 10%. MERS had a mortality rate of 35%. And Ebola has an average mortality rate of 50%. And it's been calculated that COVID at the most is about 3%. Now you can look at that in two ways. That, as I said, there were only about 8,000 people that got SARS. So with a 10% mortality rate, that means 800 people died. Well, even though COVID has a lower mortality rate with 75,000 cases and 2,000 deaths, you have more people dead, but you have more people that have the disease. So you can look at it as you could have less fear of getting the disease, and it's a matter of numbers. The more people that get it, even at a 2% mortality rate, there's a lot of people who would die. Now, the one thing, looking at us here in the United States, just like with Ebola, the two people who got Ebola in the United States did not die, that we generally have better health. And with so many of these diseases, the people who die have underlying medical problems in the first place. Even one of the Americans who came up with COVID had apparently quite significant underlying medical problems. So this is something we have to think about, where if you're in good health and you get the symptoms, even if you end up being diagnosed with the disease, you're certainly not likely to die. There is a specific test.
Now, when they say it spread from person to person, is it like the common cold, where if someone is sneezing and you're in their vicinity, you're likely to get it if you have a weakened immune system?
Yes, yes. And originally, and this is what was the big deal at the end of January, that it was assumed that the transmission was from animal to human as it was with SARS and MERS. Bizarre animals, cattle, bats, civets, that this resides in. But then when it was reported that, okay, there were 14 people who were nowhere near the market with the diseased animals, and they picked up the disease. And then the American in Chicago gave the disease to their spouse. So that was very clear that they were nowhere near these animals or the virus lab or anything like that. So it definitely is just like a cold, and which is our lesson of everything I'll tell you to do, we should be doing anyway, just so we won't get the cold or flu.
Well, I read that of the 3,000 people that were boarded on the Japanese cruise ship, that 500 contracted the disease, and some of those were people that were not in quarantine. They somehow caught it anyway.
Well, a cruise ship, and it was kind of amusing, frankly, when I first heard that they were keeping everyone on the cruise ship, and it became a question of what should one do? Cruise ships are petri dishes for bacteria.
Yes, I believe
Remember the norovirus, and on the ships they have hand sanitizer hanging off of every wall, because if something starts on that ship, it's going to get all over it. Everyone's a captive audience, and they're breathing the same recirculated air. And with this quarantine, they were inside the rooms, so that means they were getting the recirculated air, no fresh air. And of course, more people are going to get sick. And then apparently the crew, they were going from room to room, and they were eating open meals with each other. So once you have the crew who was going around the ship as they had to, someone had to deliver food and whatnot, and take care of other business with the passengers. So I kind of have a feeling everybody knew eventually people were going to get sick just from being in an enclosed environment.
Well, Marilyn, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to continue our discussion about the coronavirus and what every American should know.
Each week, the Be the People show presents interviews with insightful guests from the world of politics, religion, media, and culture. The Be the People show is on podcast. It offers bonus footage. To listen to Be the People online, go to the BeThePeopleNews.com website and subscribe to the Be the People podcast, heard also on the America Out Loud Network.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Dr. Marilyn Singleton. Marilyn, it sounds like from the previous conversation that you don't see an immediate need for anyone in America to panic about catching the coronavirus themselves here.
Panic is certainly a strong word. I think we should all be just as concerned as we should be with getting the flu. Certainly many, many more people have the flu, and thousands of people have died from the flu just in this country. And it's one of these things. It sounds strange, it's something new, and it's scary, the thought that these new viruses just seem to crop up out of nowhere And is this going to be the 21st century? Is this our life? Is this our new life that these things are going to just pop up? Viruses do mutate. And there's certainly a lot of conspiracy theories, and I'll call it that because we don't know what's true, whether it's biological warfare and someone created it and this, that, and the other. So we don't want to spread theories that may turn out not to be true. And we know just from the way the flu changes that viruses do mutate in nature.
And well, you know, there are some intelligence officers of people that have access to information in the U.S. that do believe that the outbreak can be traced to a laboratory in Wuhan, China, where they were doing research on the virus.
Right. And it's nearby the market. So that was the question, whether it was the market or perhaps it was that lab. Apparently the lab was literally just a few hundred feet away, and the lab did contain some infected animals. So there certainly is that proximity, and that could be the case. But the question still remains, is it something that's found in nature? And the answer is yes, it is in these animals. And then, so you know it's in nature, and then how did it jump from the animals to humans? And, or was it something that escaped from the lab? But nonetheless, it certainly won't be the last virus we'll ever see. So anything we learn about it just helps us for the next one as well. And everyone will learn from this. Look at what we've learned just with the incubation period. First, they quarantined people for 2 weeks. They thought, okay, 2 days to 2 weeks. Now it's turning out that it's up to 24 days that a person could have no symptoms and still pass it along to someone else. And I'm sure we're going to be just like many other diseases where people are asymptomatic carriers. So you're not going to know.
Well, it seems like with the U.S. government's decision to rescue or give those passengers on the ship an opportunity to travel home, that putting the infected people on the same plane with people that had no symptoms, that may not have been the wisest decision.
Well, apparently, and I just saw a picture, so I don't know. I certainly have no personal knowledge of what the plane looked like, but from the picture, they had designed the plane. They had a quarantined area on the plane with air purifiers and whatnot. So presumably, the people who had the symptoms were isolated and the other ones weren't. But the question is, what do you do? The people had to come home. They had to come home in some sort of way. And now, what the new thing that I just read yesterday was that people might reinfect themselves. So they were recovered and then turned up again with it.
And so that the second time is more deadlier than the first case.
Well, presumably, but that could be, again, just like when someone has a relapse of a cold, that your immune system is already down from having fought off the first round. So then suddenly you're hit with the second round. So it may not be any different from anything else in that regard. So, you know, the other thing that's important to note, that unlike the flu, that is generally considered to only last on surfaces for several hours, maybe a day, that it's now been shown that the COVID can last on metal or glass or plastic for up to 9 days. So this is, you can see what would make it spread so easily. Who would think that the same table that maybe somebody sat at and that the virus could still be there?
Well, Marilyn, you know, my concern as a traveler on planes is that the plane does recirculate the air that we breathe. And so there's no way that a person could really protect themselves from that, or if they are on a plane and they're using the tray or they're fastening the seatbelt, if they don't purify or cleanse their hands in some sort of way, they could easily pick up something from a previous passenger.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you something, that when I get on a plane anyway, I carry the large Purell wipes, and Purell, not wet ones, because Purell has alcohol, which is what you want to use before I get in the seat. Now, some airlines have cloth seats. Southwest has fake leather seats, so they're easy to wipe off. And I wipe it all off before I go in there and wipe the whole back of the seat. And if
I think I was seated beside you once.
Well, you know, you might look at the person like they're crazy, but I'm the one that didn't get the cold.
But I mean, we don't go fully equipped in that way. But for those of us that have to travel to speak, we are at greater risk than someone that stays home, like my mother. My 89-year-old mother lives at home with me. You know, she rarely goes out. Her chances of catching it, unless I brought it home, would be like probably zero.
That's right. That's absolutely right. But we don't want to scare people into becoming trapped in their home, certainly not at this point. The important thing, and again, we tell this to everybody, that wash your hands as soon as you get in your house. Wash your hands, and 20 seconds soap and water is the best thing. And if you don't have access to water when you're out, carry the little bottle of hand sanitizer and wipe your hands off. And they always say that we touch our face 2,000 times a day. It's hard to imagine, but when you think about it, that probably sounds about right. And so knowing that that's the case, you don't want your dirty hands up at your face. So as soon as you come into your home, your safe area, make sure you've washed your hands. And where it starts to get scary is, how far do you go? We receive so many packages and items from China. Now, the CDC says
I haven't even gone there.
they have no evidence that packages from China are contaminated.
It takes them more than 9 days to get here, right?
Right, exactly. So, you can probably believe that. And if they were in a big container, I certainly don't know what makes the virus grow, but perhaps it's not growing and it just goes away. I mean, some things, sunlight kills it, some things don't. And honestly, I don't know if that would help or hurt the growth of this virus. As women, we can say we're a little safer. So far, the disease is about 80% predominant male. And again, about a third of the patients have some underlying disease. So we come around to keep yourself healthy. And if you do have some underlying problem, stay healthy. And maybe folks that do have a problem, those are the ones that need to worry and maybe decide not to take that cruise. And it's interesting because you think about cruises, and a lot of older folks tend to take cruises, and perhaps that's why so many people came down with it. But even the folks at HHS say the airport screening ends up not being very effective because 1 out of 4 people are asymptomatic, have no symptoms. So how, you know, what do you test for? And the CDC is the one that has the test. Everybody doesn't have it, and it is a completely accurate test. They know the gene and everything, so they know exactly what to test for. And it's called a PCR test, and that's what they do. They'll take a swab and they can do that. But for me, sitting here at my desk, if I had it, I don't have a test kit with me. I wouldn't know. So it's a tough problem because we certainly live in a free society and we don't want any of these model quarantine laws like that were put forth after 9/11. And do you want somebody telling you you must stay in your home and all this? So you definitely don't want people to panic. And most of these things do just die out on their own. And you sort of hope for that. Now, they're looking at Singapore very closely because of Singapore's weather. Generally, these viruses tend to die out in the summer. And Singapore has 81 cases as of today, and its temperatures are summer-like. So they're really monitoring it to see, will Singapore's graph just shoot up and up and up, or will it level off once the initial cases wear away? Because Singapore was very specific, and they know who patient zero was in Singapore.
Right.
You know, that conference. So that was a very specific group of people. So it will be interesting to follow that and see what happens.
And it's my understanding too that the coronavirus, COVID-19, is more likely to strike older people.
Right, right. Older and pre-existing problems.
Now, you have been a font or wealth of information about the coronavirus. We need to take another break. And when we return, I'd like for you to talk about some of the other healthcare issues and policies you're involved with.
You're listening to Be the People. Dr. Carol Swain is the mind behind Be the People News, radio, podcast, and YouTube. Be the People's mission is dedicated to empowering individuals to think independently, understand their responsibility, and believe in their unique ability to make a difference in the world. Check out Carol's work at BeThePeopleNews.com. To invite Carol to be your next keynote speaker, go to BeThePeopleNews.com. That's BeThePeopleNews.com.
I'm back with my guest, Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and she has shared a wealth of information about the coronavirus. And so now, Dr. Singleton, I'd like for you to talk about some of the healthcare reform issues that you are involved in.
Oh, goodness. Do you have three more days?
No, we have about 5 minutes.
Okay. I am the immediate past president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and this was an organization that was founded back in 1943 when single-payer healthcare first came on the horizon, and we've been fighting it ever since. Now, what's wonderful is now there's several physician organizations, and the organizations are starting to work with each other to look for the best way to keep the patient-doctor relationship sacred like it should be. All of us agree that the government intrusion into medicine is not making it better. And one of the biggest problems is people will say, well, what about people who can't afford to buy private insurance? There are ways that the Medicaid program, until you can really actually get people out of the Medicaid program, can be better designed to help people have a better relationship, be able to obtain a doctor. Because one of the problems now with some people who have Medicaid, they can't find a doctor. So they still end up going to the emergency room and they don't get continuity of care. And continuity of care is one of the biggest things that all of our organizations push for, because that's what keeps people healthy. That what about 70% of things that happen to people can be prevented: lifestyle, smoking, alcohol, dietary choices. That includes heart disease, lung disease, gallbladder disease, about five different cancers. All of these things can be helped out with good preventive care. And good preventive care really does require a good relationship with your doctor. And this is one of the things we're pushing for and hope that people realize patients have to be involved, that they can't be bystanders in their own medical care. And the system, I always hate that word because it's like we don't really want a system. We want patients and doctors and other healthcare professionals to work together to keep everyone healthy. And one of the big innovations in healthcare now is what's called direct primary care, which is there. It's kind of like a medical subscription service where people pay $40 a month if you're relatively young, and up to $100 if you're older. And you get everything you need from the doctor for that amount of money, and medications at cost. And talk about a whole nother podcast is medications. That medications, many of the standard things that most people take are very inexpensive because they've been around for years. And if you get them at cost, people can afford it. And you can afford to just go ahead and buy it. I mean, literally, a blood pressure pill that almost everybody with high blood pressure takes, you can get 1,000 of them for $12.57.
And that's when you cut out the middleman, right?
That, absolutely. And so these are things that patients need to know. There's so much fear-mongering about, oh, if you take away all the government control of healthcare, you won't have anything. And that's just so not true. That when you look at price comparisons and getting rid of middlemen, middlemen in drugs, middlemen in various procedures, costs of MRIs for people who do cash, you can get one for $350. My husband had one. He didn't pay this, but this what was on the bill, $3,000. It's absurd when you know that if you walked in and paid cash, you could get it for $300.
And Marilyn, in the time that we have left, could you tell our listeners how they can get in contact with you or to join in supporting some of the work that you're doing as far as policy reform?
Oh, there's several websites, and I can send you first aapsonline.org. There's Physicians for Reform, and that's a .org. And most of these websites, ours and Physicians for Reform, there's links to other websites, and ours has tons of policy papers, op-eds, and you can really just search for what topic you're looking for. And it will give patients an opportunity to see other sides to this whole healthcare picture that you might not see just from listening to all the blather that you hear on these news shows.
We are going to post links to all of those websites. And I'm going to have you or invite you back on the Be the People show to talk about some of the other research that you've been doing and your thoughts about Black America.
Oh, well, thank you. I would love to have that discussion. And with you, my goodness, talk about being honored. You're just such an expert on so many of those issues.
And to my listeners, thank you so much for supporting the Be the People show. And remember, as always, it's up to us, the we the people, to be the people who change our nation and our world. And one way we do that is by getting information. And so today's show, we've talked about the coronavirus, how dangerous it is, but also how we can protect ourselves and the degree of threat or lack of threat to those of us who live in the United States. So we have information. Information is power. Until next time.